Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable.
Big Edge over on the inside. Asfura's coming as well. At the 150, Big Edge. Asfura levels up. It's regional. The girls ride in it. Asfura takes the lead. She's going to outsprint the world. Asfura's done it for Australia. What a performance.
Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, Oak Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. Oak Thunderstruck late. Down the middle, Kings will dream at the 100 and getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Archie's too good. They can't beat her. In time I'm so untold. I'm just another soul for sale. Oh well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not permanent. G'day punters and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are very excited. Don't worry about what Bot says. We are very excited to be previewing finals day at Flemington this week. We've got all three of us on the panel tonight, Nico, Will, and myself, Ben. And we've also got a special guest later on in the program. We're getting Jack Adam on to speak about the footy, the AFL, go through every game and get some of his tips. Boys, firstly, how are we?
Yeah, I'm going good.
Well,
I'm not enjoying being back in Melbourne, that's for sure. Tell you that for free.
Bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, well.
You've been trotting off in
Trotting off with a bit of sun on my back. Yeah. And you can see why the horses go to Queensland, because I've definitely excelled ever since I've got some sun on my back. So it's a fair reason why these horses come back better when they've gone to Queensland.
100%. Yeah. I think I'm paying about mid-20s for a gym membership a week, and it's getting very little use right now with the cold weather and not much motivation to go. So
well, I actually started a bit of a health kick on Monday, so I'm having a bit of a rinse this weekend, and then it's head down, bum up, shred season.
Really?
As hard on the smoothie diets. As hard as it's going to be in this cold weather, it's mind over matter sort of stuff. So yep, we'll be right.
Yep. Finals day, fellas. I think I actually really like this day, and I like what Flemington have done with this sort of concept.
Can I bring up a little pet hate to start with? Why is there horses in some of these?
Start with a negative.
Why is there horses in these races that haven't run in any of the lead up races? This should be purely for horses that have ran in the lead up races throughout the series. Why is there horses like Duke Decessor and these type of horses that haven't fucking run once all winter or all in the lead up to this? And all of a sudden, they can just be plonked in a final. That defeats the whole purpose.
Because it's not done on a point system. It's just done on their rating, basically. And if they've got a higher rating, then they get into the race.
That's bullshit.
So there's no actual qualification process, I don't believe.
Yeah. That's shit.
You've got another gripe, Nico.
I've got two.
Nico's got way too many gripes.
Wow.
We want to wind back to last Saturday to begin with.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Nah,
what happened last
Saturday? Utter disgrace. Like, this person would want to have a good, hard fucking look at himself in the mirror. Like, how any person in their right mind with a fucking certificate that calls himself a veterinarian can see that De Graves is not sound, needs to go and hand in their certificate and go find another job. There is lots of fucking horses that race day in, day out that might have a funny walk or something like that that are perfectly sound. It's no different to an elite athlete that is that walks funny or doesn't walk to the letter of this is how you're meant to walk. The horse is perfectly sound. Anyone with any knowledge can go and have a look at his latest work. He looks super. He's feeling well. Gav would not put the horse at risk if he thought he was in danger of hurting himself. Even Mick D, who's never ridden the horse, got off and said, yep, this horse will be going anywhere and pretty much winning. And he hasn't raced for 3 years and he knows nothing about the horse. So there's an unbiased opinion there that even just further makes my point stand out. It's ridiculous that the horse hasn't ran. It's utter bullshit. They're happy for the horse to go to the trials and go to the jump outs and all this sort of stuff. But all of a sudden it gets to a Saturday race day and all of a sudden he's not sound. Well, that's all good and well, Racing South Australia. I'm forwarding you the fucking bill that we've footed for the last month to get this horse to the races to not be able to get a return on our investment, even though this horse is perfectly fucking sound and there's nothing wrong with him. I hope he never races in South Australia again, and I hope no one ever races in South Australia again. They're fucking irrelevant because they lost their jumps racing, and I should have known better than to think that these backwards fucks would think anything would go right over there. So that's one gripe that I've had.
Yep. The next one is you're actually putting the sword through the VRC. This is a big
what's
goal.
What's doing with Flemington? VRC Instagram page. So let me just bring this up. So today there was a post about Champions Day or Winter Championships Day, right? Finals Day. From champions to legends, these remarkable horses conquered the winter finals and went on to secure their place among the greatest. So horse number one pictured, Nature Strip.
Tick.
One of the best sprinters we've ever seen, out and out champion. Picture number two, the Astrologist. Picture number three, Tuvalu. Picture number four, Mega Fucking Mia. Dead set. You're having me on, aren't you? Tuvalu, fair enough. Average Group 1 winner, solid horse. The Astrologist and Mega Mia is just utterly taking the piss.
Astro was a solid horse, but oh, Mega Mia.
Fuck me. They're not champions in their own dreams.
No, they're not.
Fucking hell.
I think it's a fair dart. Definitely a question in the post, and I'm surprised it didn't have a bit more kickback. But
and I love how they've used a photo of J-Mac and Nature Strip when they've won the Dali Sprint.
Yeah. I think it might have been Frosty riding him when he won that day at Flemington on finals day.
Fair dinkum. Turn it up. Get in the sea.
Yeah.
So Racing South Australia, Flemington VRC, social media, you're in the bin.
I actually really like finals day because it does give us an alley to see some of these really progressive horses that are coming through the winter months and hopefully they can get to something better in the spring. A few of those might be Berkshire Breeze and Ferrari in the last, but we will get to that very soon. I've got some great memories of this day. I remember a horse called Ability. He won four in a row for Robert Smerdon. He was an absolute ATM. And I remember going to the races by myself one year. I used to be a little bot. And just watching the Craig Williams versus Bo Mertens, remember that year when they were sort of in the jockey premiership battle off and they were just going win for win.
Yeah.
That was an incredible year. Just fond memories of some of these winter race days at Flemington.
Huge.
But what's happening in your world, mate? I'm happy to move on.
Not much. It was my brother's 18th yesterday. So going to Euroa tomorrow. So that'll be great.
You sound so excited.
Yeah, there's not much going on.
What is in your eye besides
Lindsay Park? Not much. It's just like lots of racing. Asfura was actually bred there. There's like a little farm where Asfura is from, and her owners are Yeah, lots of trainers and I'm not trainers. I'm track work riders and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a nice
job. Hope you've organised to see Tommy while you're up there.
He lives in Warrnambool, you dumbass.
Not Dabbenig, you fucking clown. Our Tommy.
Oh yeah, our Tommy. Right, yeah, right, yeah. I can catch up a beer with him.
We'll have a beer for Tommy and your brother.
You need. You're in the sea too, champ.
Go on, fake me.
Oh, all right.
He doesn't contribute anymore.
Can we get on to it?
Let's get on with the races because we do have a guest who's very keen to give us some AFL tips coming on soon. Rail True Flemington, soft five at the moment. Look, winterish ground at the moment, but I think it's as good of conditions as we can ask for come this Saturday. I know it's going to be nice and cold, but there doesn't look any rain on the radar. Bot, did you have any thoughts on track conditions and weather?
Nah, it's Flemington.
I don't know why I didn't ask you.
He's got no thoughts on earth.
Just bet.
Yeah. It doesn't matter about barriers, conditions, anything. The horses should just run straight and win, basically.
What? No, but it's lucky. Forward to midfield's good.
All right. Well,
race one punters. We doing race one?
One drink for every time we mention Punter's Day, because that's what it looks like with some of these short price favourites.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up, Bot. It does. There are morals galore on this card, and I'm happy to say it right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Happy to say it right now. 1,200 metre two-year-old race in the first. I found you. Well, the punters have found this. It's $1.55. Earth God is $6.50. El Dol Fito, $7. Golden Warrior, $7.50. And Perfectly Good, $10. Nico, I don't suppose you're going against this favourite.
Oh, this is a perfect way to start the day, this horse. I found you, it found me. What are you giggling at?
Nothing.
This was an expensive purchase at the sales, and she looked very, very smart when she made her debut off some very solid trials. She won on a heavy track, running away from them by 3.5 lengths. Vinnies don't usually go super on heavy ground. So it's pretty exciting to think that she's got more gears up her sleeve. I don't know. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but this might be Coolmore or something trial up the straight, 1,200. If she can tick this box, well, it opens up a few doors for the spring that's just about on the doorstep.
How are you suggesting the punters play? Because, you know, most people aren't going to be to back a $1.55 favourite two-year-old in the first.
Yeah, well, I think the best bet of the day is you take the race one and race two double.
Race one and race two double.
Yeah. All right. I think you take I Found You into to Berkshire Breeze. We'll elaborate on Berkshire Breeze in a minute, but yeah, I don't think there's any chinks in this. I think 1,200 is going to be perfect. She's just about run that distance on debut. I think getting back onto a dry track is only a positive. Barrier 7, perfect. Yeah, you just have so much. Like, Shinny's probably out riding the best of anyone at the moment. J-Mac's out with an illness, but Shinny's top shelf. Riding winner after winner. I think he rode, three or four yesterday, and then he went to sale for a kill today.
He rode three at Sandown, and the one that probably should have won didn't win.
Yeah.
What was its name again? It was the Nick Ryan horse. Help me out here.
He's Beset.
Yeah, he's Beset. Should have won, but he just waited too long to pull the trigger.
He's also turned up for the season as well. So
that spike should. Yeah, huge.
I Found You is a half sister to Shooting to Win and Deep Field, who are both at stud and good horses.
Yeah. What I was going to say is there's a lot happening in the jockey ranks at the moment because James McDonald is obviously off sick, and Nashua Willer was going to go for a holiday, but he's staying in Sydney to ride in hopes to chase down the lead to get that premiership. I think he's 8 metro wins away from J-Mac at the moment, and he's got what has he got left? A month? So that'll be very, very interesting. All right, let's go to race two. Banjo Patterson Series Final, 2,600 metres. Berkshire Breeze, $1.45. From Taraman Saw, $5.50. Aberfeldy Boy, $8.50. Born a King, $11. Speranzo, $15. We don't need to take too long here. Berkshire Breeze, I think, is a genuine, you know, cups horse. Don't know if he can win it. But I reckon he can be finding his way into the field in both a Caulfield Cup and a Melbourne Cup. He didn't beat much last start, but I still think it's pretty good. The overall figure, 7 lengths above the class benchmark for 2,500 metres at Flemington. We know there are a few decent races that get run over the 2,500 metres. And this is second time for the prep, so you imagine he's at least going to hold that form, if not improve a little bit, and he still escapes the handicap and down on 54.5 kilos. So, yeah, I just don't see too many dangers here. Born a King was pretty good winning last start. He's got to carry the 60 and give us 5.5. He beat Taraman Saw and Aberfeldy Boy is just sort of whacking away, and there's not much else to this race.
Nah, he's the
$1.45 is probably value. This is a you make this thing.
Don't make these fucking outlandish damage if you're not going to actually get involved in somewhat. Have a multi. Just take the double.
No thanks, mate. No, I don't want to bet at $1.45.
Well, it's fucking value, you just told me. So which one is it, champ? Which side of the fence are you sitting on? Get the splinters out of your ass.
This is why they love Nico. This is why the punters love our guest being on.
Our guest. Thanks for coming on, mate. This is like $1.10.
Well, it would have been ears bleeding if I wasn't on by the dribble that you're giving up. You're saying it's value now. You're saying it's $1.10 chance and now. You do, mate.
Do we need to say any more, or can we just move on and not waste time?
I think he's a very progressive stayer. Whether he gets to the cups or not is another thing. But, well, if he doesn't get to the cups, there's the perfect race for him. That 2,800-meter race.
Macca's run.
The Macca's run, yeah. Well, he can go via Macca's and still win.
Yeah. Nice horse.
He's also eligible for the Grays race.
He'd probably win that too.
It's taking a piss. That's over 1,600, isn't it?
Yeah, he could win 14. That at race two, and then back up in the 2,800 meter race two races later.
It's a little pipe opener. Yeah, but I think that's the easiest way to approach the day. You back the first into the second and roll them up, and it'll give you a nice little kitty.
All right, well, plenty of punters will say two's not good enough. We're going to go the treble. 1,600-meter three-year-old event is race three. Craig is a $1.80 favorite from Rise at Dawn, $4.60. Just to Deal, $9. La Frasas, that's definitely not right, $10. My Rockefeller, $14. I should definitely practice some of these names before we record, but I don't. Craig, you know the funny thing about this horse's win last start? I thought it was pretty soft, rode a fast tempo, and, you know, as brave as Rise at Dawn was, I still think Craig easily had its measure. And as it went across the line, Terry Bailey said, wasn't pretty but got the job done. I thought that was a little bit harsh. I think he had plenty up under the sleeve.
He didn't. They're all falling in a hole.
Yeah, but I just think he won easily is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I'm just making Nico angry.
And I actually think Hannah Edgley on that day, she probably went a little bit quicker than what most jockeys would. Maybe she just didn't judge the tempo, or like it probably was a good ride. And that's why I'm actually thinking if Stackhouse goes on and runs this a little bit slower, I think that works into Craig's hands even more, because he just got that more dynamic turn of foot. And he actually gets 3 kilos off Rise at Dawn yet again, even though he should have smashed him two starts ago and beat him easily last start. So Johnny goes on, Johnny Allen, that is, maybe a slight negative from Luke Curry, but in all honesty, $1.90 is probably pretty good odds. I think you can mark him down to sort of $1.60,
$1.55. I had him $2.10. I had Rise at Dawn $4.50. Looks about right to me. It's boring. My Rockefeller ran a good figure, won by 10 lengths, but I don't believe it. This race is just, you know,
I think the only knock...
It's market, and then that's boring.
The only knock that I've got on Craig is, like, he's staying at 1,600 metres. Is he looking for further? I think he can still win this race. I think we might get a touch better than the current quote. I reckon we might see black figures. That's my only knock. Yeah. I'm not raging that he's sticking at 1,600 metres. Like, yeah, of all the shorties on the day, he's the one that I would least be surprised if he got beat.
I think potentially the optics of last start, because they did go so fast, he was doing a fair bit of work to get to the lead, and he saw it just, as Bot said, he is falling in a bit of a hole late. He still has run the fastest last 200 of the race and ran his last, you know, like the overall figure is still 4.5 lengths above the class. So I don't know. I'm taking the race 2 into race 3 double, and I'll be having a nice 6-unit play at that.
Oof.
Mm. Good. Fair enough.
Thanks for your fucking input, Bot. Thanks for your fucking...
No, yeah. Oh, well, I think Craig, I do agree with you, Nick. I think he's probably looking for 2,000. I thought the pace probably suited him more than what it did Rise at Dawn. And if they go at more of a sedate pace, maybe Rise at Dawn can steal. Craig probably might have to go back a few further pairs back than what he has. So I think he could end up 4 pairs back, and maybe that could be what brings him undone. But, you know, like if he sprints the way he did 2 back when he was a certainty beaten, then,
certainty.
You know, like he's $1.90. Like he's obviously more like he's obviously favorite.
Yeah.
I think he probably should be like, he's around that price or $2.20. $1.90 between that and $2.20 is somewhere near the right price for him. But yeah, I don't really have an opinion in this race at all. Sorry.
Bot Splinters, race 4, Targ Rossi series final, 1600 meter 2-year-old listed event. Pisces is $2.60 favorite. You can have that, punters. Sneaky Sunrise is $3.60. Mm. Jenny's Meadow $6. War Party $6.50. Waitley $9. Nico, are you playing this or you want to go first, Bot?
Nico, go first. I need to get my charger.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've got a lot of respect for Sneaky Sunrise. It was good last start. Respect all that. But I just think there's probably a horse with a bit more upside here early in the preparation. I thought it was really, really good on debut. Comes out of that same race. That's number 7, Waitley.
You are a sucker for these colours.
No, it's got nothing to do with the colours. It's more so like I thought this horse was really good on the inferior ground where no horse has really made up any ground all day. It was beaten a length and a half on debut. You'd have to think it's got you'd have to think it's got some serious improvement first start to second start. Stays down on 54.5 kilos while Sneaky Sunrise goes up to 58.5. That's, you know, it's up 3 kilos from last start, so I think Pisces is a bit of a cat. I just think that at, you know, $10 and $2.50 on the place, I think it's a solid gamble for a horse that's got upside against a few that have been around a little bit.
Fair enough. But if you're tuning back in just now, Nico is tipping the Aussie Kieran Johnny O'Neill horse. Oh. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I know. No.
It's got nothing to do with the colours.
Not at all. Is it a, stable tip or anything? Or
no.
Did he call it a moral?
My own form, fuckhead.
Sexy colours, written tycoon.
I don't know about this. Like, I think the top of the market's all right, but like we saw how War Party get backed from like 17s into $4.30 Betfair last week, and I think that's because there's not a whole lot between the top of the market and like some of these other ones. Like War Party was coming out of a Geelong maiden, it was completely off the map to beat them. It started shorter than Pisces in the end, and it's $2.70 favorite here. So, Yeah, I like a small sort of bet, but Politely Done ran nice splits in a slowly run race. It's by Politeness, who's a Group 1 winner from Dundee. Probably positioned a little bit more forward, and it's definitely a miler. Like, it's probably going to be a Derby horse next prep. I thought the splits were okay, and yeah, I couldn't get involved in any of the favourites. Yeah, like the market support for War Party was telling, because it was it clearly binned the main lead up race and tried to find the alternative, and that was War Party, and I think it might probably do the same thing again. So Politely Done is the way I'll be leaning in this race, just like a small bet probably.
Yeah. My first sort of angle in this race is laying the favourite, Pisces, who I have put the sword through at his last two starts. This is a two-year-old who is deep into a preparation now. He's sixth up, and I think he's had every chance to win his last two starts. Last start, he had the back of Sneaky Sunrise, couldn't get past her in the straight. It was only a sedate tempo, and she was three wide the journey, which, you know, might not be the biggest negative, but he had her back the whole race, produced in the straight and couldn't get past. Great Blake Shin ride. I think 1600 meters is a bit of a query for this horse, and I think $2.60, $2.70 is way too short. I think despite going up 3 kilos, you probably could still mark Sneaky Sunrise favorite. $4, you know, she does go up 3 kilos, so there is a chance that she drifts. You might get better if you want to back her. But outside of that, Jenny's Meadow, War Party, Waitley, I think it is a pretty even grade of race, and my way would just be laying Pisces yet again.
Huge.
Yeah, fair enough. It does seem real short to me. I think it's just the weight swing, I think, just because Sneaky Sunrise rises, what is it, like 3 kilos, and Pisces is down. No, it's the same way. It's 3 kilo weight swing.
Yeah. She was there to be beaten the whole straight last time, and I still thought she was stronger through the line than him. Obviously, going up 3 kilos isn't great, but I just hope they go forward from barrier 10 and sort of take luck out of the equation. If she sits OSO and they go a sedate tempo yet again, that will help her run the mile out strongly. So, you know, definitely not a confident tip, but I still would have Sneaky Sunrise just on top because I think she's a winner.
Hmm.
All right, we'll skip 5. We'll go to 6, the Mahogany Challenge Final, 2,500 meter, 3-year-old quality race. I think this is dead set a two-horse race between Steel Run, who's $3.30 favorite, and Piggyback, $3.60. Aliyud is $4.80. Aztec State is $6. And the market says those are the only four chances. As I said, I think there's only two. But Will, you're on the Kieran Maher trained horse.
Yeah, probably will be. I think they ran, it was fast overall time at, was it Hawkesbury or Kembla or one of them? It's by, sorry, it was at Randwick, actually. It was, got there eventually. It's by Trapeze Artists, who's by Snitzel. So, they don't typically produce many stayers, but the mare won the Australasian Oaks, not the Australasian Oaks, the South Australian Classic, the 2,500 meter one, I think. And it's by Zabil. So, and all of Piggyback's brothers and sisters are get out over a trip. So, I'm confident that the horse will run the trip. And the splits last time over an even to strongly run 10 furlongs suggests that, you know, it definitely wasn't lacking stamina and it can sprint too. So I think it probably can position somewhere near the speed here. And I think it's... I think it should be favourite over Steel Run, who I'm a little bit scared of. It's obviously a half brother to the other one in the same colours for Kent. I can't remember its name, but it should have won the Ledger, I think. And then Aliyud looks really short to me. I know it gets Blake Shin on and whatever. It was well backed last week, but you know, like you just copy and paste the expected rating, and like it was beaten pretty fairly. Like it was checked, I think, and it was maybe it looked slightly unlucky, but you still got
still didn't do there. Much.
Yeah, there wasn't much doing, and it was pretty easy to just make it three times its price. So I'd expect it to get out heavily, and Aztec State is sort of just there or thereabouts. I don't want to be on it. I think Piggyback's the one to beat, and the rest are. Horses will be seeing at Kyneton in benchmark 58s on a Thursday in maybe a year or two. So Piggyback. And I'm sure we'll see Piggyback in one of those races. Maybe a 64. It's just slightly better than them.
Yeah. I think you can get rid of one and two. Aztec State, you know, he's been pretty solid, but he's got to carry the 60 kilos here and give the horses at the top of the market 6 kilos at the weights stepping up and trip. I don't think he's any first immortal who did that deed, winning with the top weight a few years ago in this race. Mm. And LEU, I can't. Yeah, that was one of my worst days ever.
Was that one?
Yeah, that was the one I did lay, because, you know, when you've got 3-year-olds rising through the grades, going to a new trip for the first time and carrying a lot of weight, a lot of them can't do it. And he was obviously an exception and a very good horse. He's probably gone off his way in recent times, but I think he is a lot better horse than Aztec State, and the 3 and 4 can be beating him. LEU, you have to just stick the pen for it as well. It just didn't do much last start. I know, you know, coming over from New Zealand, maybe it can improve second time around. But for mine, this is a dead set 2-horse race between Steel Run, who has been solid, got back a long way last start and ran the fastest last 200 of the race. Doesn't seem like 2,500 meters will slow it up, but it has been a little slowly away. So it draws 4. It's probably going to be well back in the field. And then it's going to have to come and get this Piggyback, who the punting form number last start but was just off the charts.
Yeah.
Rated 8 lengths above the class average for 2,000 metres at Randwick. I know it's heavy track figures, heavy 9, and it's going back to a soft 5, good 4 here. But in the right camp, drawn well, well weighted, it's won 3 of 5. I don't know which way I'll go yet, but you're talking me into Piggyback, Bob.
Yeah, it's improved at every start, and like it's not like the paces have been slow and it's just getting it. Like they've been in testing ground in fast time, and it's coming home really, really fast.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no question about the trip. I think it should be fine, and it's in the right hands. Kieran Maher over 2,000 meters. That was a. It still is a big thing, but it was a big thing a couple of years ago.
Yeah. No, there's a lot to like there. All right, let's go to race 7, Santa Ana Lane, Sprint Series Final. What a horse he was, especially over 1,200 metres down the straight. This is a listed event. Press Down is $2.40 favourite. Veloce Caro, $5.50. Who Dares, $9. Why Worry, $9. And Ranting, $11. I actually backed this Press Down today, and I got $3. $3.25 I was able to secure on Bet365. I reckon literally 5 minutes after I backed him, he went straight into like $2.40, $2.50. So there's been a massive go for this horse. He obviously ran really fast time last start, winning the Golden Topaz at Swan Hill. Punting form class benchmark is 9.5 lengths above, which I know it is Swan Hill figures, but you just look at the overall time and it is dead set fast. He's going to put himself up on the speed here. He gets him with 54 kilos. And I just don't think a lot of these horses have the ratings to match him. He's still sort of on the up. And they're going to have to come and get him. Horses like Veloce, Caro are probably going to be back in the field. He's going to be right there, ready to pounce. And he strikes a race with a lot of numbers. Your likes of Crosshaven, It's Our Time, the Astrologists. They're sort of just still going up and down on the one spot. And he looks the one who's still on the up and can progress on to better.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't mind it. Like I think it got everything. Everything happened perfectly for him last time. And he repeated the rating that he did when he ran third in the Irwin behind Benedetta and Climbing Star, who were both obviously, you know, they're both Group 1 winners now, so that's a pretty good form line. And he got an uncontested lead and won dominantly in the Golden Topaz. So, yeah, you know, if he runs that rating, he'll win. I don't like two fifty is probably the lower sort of end of the price. I probably gets out like I think he probably starts $280. I've got him $3. I still think that Semyon and Crosshaven are a little bit big. Like Crosshaven's, he beat most of these horses last time, and Semyon's coming off like it started. Semyon started favorite in the good race last time. The listed race, the Bob Charlie at Randwick, and it won a listed race beating Tashi, and that form ties in through Rheinberg and Le Ferrari and all those sorts of horses. So Semyon's one that I can entertain at sort of $15, and like Who Dares is at the top of the market, and Semyon's was beaten less than a length next to it. So yeah, I think that those two are the ones that I can entertain, but at like not a race I'm super interested in. I think Why Worry is way too short. I think that it got away with a very soft lead first up, and then the market knew all about it second up, and it was sort of unwanted and regressed on its form. So
a race. Who Dares is the one they'll back, isn't it? Because he's been hard in the market, sort of $3.20 and $3.50 SPs his last two starts.
Well, but I think like they half dropped off him last time, like that he was soft-ish in betting, mainly just because of, you know, he ran, they backed him really hard, second up at Flemington when he was in the right lanes, and they sort of dropped off him a little bit there, so I'd be interested to see what they do. Maybe he's the one that they they're firm with. And I have him a little bit shorter than the market, but it's nothing like I really want to have a crack at it. It's just there or thereabouts.
I just hope that Neil Farley breaks from barrier four and then sort of makes his way toward the middle to outside, because Rail's back in the true position now. We don't know exactly how the straight's going to play, but before the rail was getting out to that 12-metre mark, we know the best part to be down the straight was that outside area. So he should get a look.
All the pace is sort of surrounding him though, so it might just, Why Worry, the astrologist pressed down, Who Dares, Senegalia, they're all going to be forward.
Yeah.
So unless they all go together, like that's going to be the pace, and it's always an advantage to be sort of where the pace is.
It's only the first race up the straight too, and it's a 2-year-old.
Yeah, it's only
race.
The first race, which is it probably won't be a real good guide because a lot of the time the 2-year-olds do
like
to. I
found he was going
to
win by six.
Yeah, and a lot of the time the 2-year-olds do tend to stick a little bit closer to the rail than the older horses, just as a guide. So,
I think he's a good bet. Who pressed down? I think there's no reason why he can't continue on his winning way. He's coming from a bit of left field form, but it all ties in. And I think there's no reason why he can't go and win again. Nothing more to add from me.
All right, are we skipping race eight, or have you got anything to say about the eighth spot?
Yeah, I do. That's the main race. How could you skip the main race?
Well, Nico and I are betting in it.
Not
it is the winter championship
final.
I'm not
betting in it because I'm out of protests.
Yeah. Well, I probably should.
It's fucked because
right.
Duke DeCessa is in this race and he shouldn't even be in there because he has not run in one heat of the series. So how you can just lob
here
in the final
anyway.
Because of your rating. The horse is a skunk anyway. Doesn't matter.
It's not going
to
win.
But
it
defeats the whole purpose. He should not be allowed to run in this race.
Well, it's a listed 1,600-metre event. Mutamex is $4.80 favorite from Duke DeCessa sixes, pounding $8, not a bad price from Windstorm $8, Greenfly $9, and La Ferrari $10.
Hopefully,
isn't Mutamex and pounding just the ones to beat yet again?
Yeah, I have like computers telling me to back Mutamex, Windstorm, and pounding like the ones at the top of the market because I don't like Duke DeCessa. I think it's
pounding is
drawn wide. It's a stayer resuming, and like I can just see it happening right now. I've got it $12. I think that's probably fair. $6 is the best price. I just think that's crazy.
515 days pounding.
For what? Since it last?
Since his last win. One. But they're $5, $8, and $8.50. So you still could back all three and turn a profit.
You just back Mundamecca and Windstorm. Yeah. If fucking Pounding beats you, well, so be it.
Didn't Pounding put like five in a row or something? And then it got pitched up to better races. And then that's why it can't win the race, because it's racing against better horses.
Pounding just doesn't like sticking his neck out. It's as simple as that.
Fuck me.
Well, the stats don't lie. 515 days since his last one to get serious, pin his ears back, find the line first bot.
Hashtag data bot.
Seven races.
Nah, running third in Australian Cup's not good enough.
No, God.
Well, you can run for prize money or you can run to win.
Fair enough. He hasn't won in a while.
Yeah, Munamek should be favourite. Obviously, it's in career best form. Which is awesome because it's a rising 9-year old and it's like it just, the last three runs have been.
Hutchies has taken massive. The absolute piss.
Oh, completely taken the piss. Holy shit. Well, I hope it loses on Saturday for the sake of his liver. But Windstorm's sort of there. But like, $8 seems big. And again, Pounding 850 seems big for
He's earned nearly $2.5 million.
Yeah.
That's
ridiculous.
It's nuts.
Yeah. And if he doesn't get a win and he survives, it'll be the lungs anyway, lads.
He didn't have much. I don't think he had much when he got here.
Well, he came from Hong Kong, so.
He still won a lot of money since he's been here.
Yeah, he's won a shit ton. How many races has he won in total? He's won 12 races. Fuck. 9 seconds and 8/3. He's a bloody good horse. But yeah. He should be favourite.
Should be three on the trot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, I just think Duke Decess is way too short. Anyway, race number 9, we get to talk about the good horse.
All right, let's move on to race 9. What do they call this one? The Creswick Sprint Series Final. Ferrari, $2 favourite. You'd want to be fast with a name like that, and luckily she is. Fleetwood was the centre of much drama last week at Caulfield in the barriers. He's $4.60. Bossy Nick, $6. Right to Party, $6.50. And you're way out to Wallenda at $19. Best bet of the day here for mine, Ferrari. I took $2.40 on open. I've had a 7-unit bet. This horse, I think, has just come back better this preparation. And lots of people are going to look back to its last prep and say, you know, it's got onto soft ground, wet ground, and it's not going to be able to produce those ratings at Flemington on Saturday. I think good horses just run fast, as Bott usually says, and Bella Nipotina has proven that this preparation when she's been running on good ground. I think she is looking for the 1,200 metres. She's impeccably bred by American Pharaoh out of some good staying progeny. So I actually think she'll be even better over 1,400 metres, 1,600 metres. She's been running blistering time. If I go down to the punting form numbers, sort of 5.6 lengths above the class first up and then 7.2 at her next start. And if you look at her ratings, her weight for age ratings with Dano, I think she's gone 95 and 96 sort of areas. So I just think she's going to elevate yet again up to 1,200 metres. And I can't say the same for Fleetwood. I think he is a genuine risk at a 1,200 metres. I was really keen on him last week, and I think there's every chance he would have won that race if he jumped with him, but he didn't. And if you look at his 1,200 metre form, I know he is returning gelded, but he's been well beaten twice at 1,200 metres, and the only time he did win, he sort of walked in front. Zach Lloyd had an absolute picnic, a birthday out in front, and he was able to get away with one at Rose Hill on the rail. So I think Ferrari is the one at 1,200 metres, and I think she's going to make a mess of this field.
Yep, I completely agree. Nice horse, Ferrari. And hopefully Matty Hill puts in like a vroom vroom or something in the call. I would love that.
This will be my controversial take of the podcast. This will win the Epsom, I reckon. This is a This is a mile.
Oh, here we go. Another outlandish take. Cue this shit up, Benny.
No, it's...
It's a bit like best filly in the country. This thing will win the derby. What's that Liam Howley thing you said that we win the derby? Al Plotter Del Sol.
Well, for what it's worth, I've taken 100 to 1. I've only had $10 on it, or $15, to win the Everest, 100 to 1, and I've also taken 50 ones for her to win the Golden Eagle. So that's something.
Yeah, I'll probably go there instead of the Epsom. But yeah, this is a really good horse. Really, really good horse. I'm excited to see what she does on Saturday. I think she'll piss in. There's not a lot. Well, there is a bit here. They've all been racing each other though, and this is the different form. This is the, her debut run, she was big splits. She sort of had no idea what was going on. She's very obviously not a 1,000 meter horse. And then she got beaten by Atlantic Spirit that day. I didn't back her that day. But yeah, and then she resumed at Cram and won by 8 and then won by, what was it, 5 on a 5 last start or 6 or whatever it was. Anyway, this is a really good horse and it'll win. It'll win on. It'll. Oh, I don't know. Like, I have it, make it like $1.90. $1.90, $2 ish. Yeah, if you get 230, 240 on the day, that's very fair. This is a really nice horse. I think, you know, what happened with Fleetwood last time was obviously unfortunate for the people that backed her, but you just copy paste the expected rating and go with what Ferrari's been doing plus the obvious upside, and I think she's going to be much better at 12, and Right to Party has to be somewhere near there. I think Bossy Nick is unbelievably short, and Prince Zero is just, yeah, Prince Zero is half interesting to me as well, but yeah, Ferrari's is a Ferrari.
Hopefully you fall off the fence and get the splinters out of your ass and you might have a bet.
Maybe, we'll see.
With any due luck.
I did post something on Twitter. Maybe I was being a bit outlandish saying, you know, I think she is just genuine, could be a Group 1 horse.
She's a Group 1 horse.
But I think the thing that people don't understand is that this horse is running sort of 95, 96 weight for age rating, and we forecast her going higher. Bella Nipotina won the Tats Tiara running to 101. So the gap between some of these horses just isn't as big as what some people think right now. And I Wish I Win isn't running his 105 numbers. He's obviously regressed because he's got lots of different problems. And Giga Kick isn't out here running his 108s right now as well because he's injured. So the sprinting ranks are thin right now. And we don't really have that.
She's not a sprinter, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, she's a sprinter if they call up and ask her to run in the Everest, isn't she?
Oh, it's good. That would hurt me so much. That, like, it's mum is a half to Arameo, who was second in the Queensland Derby. His other Godolphin thing that ran second in the Sydney Derby and running a Sydney Cup, for fuck's sake. Like, this is, like, it's a genuine staying pedigree. American Pharaoh won the Triple Crown over there. He won over a mile and a half. This is very obviously a miler. Maybe further, and if it's running the Everest, I will, like, it will do my fucking head in. It shouldn't even be running at 1200 meters. It should be running over a mile, like on debut. Anyway,
there you go. Like, just bots shit. Outlandish statements. Volume 500. All right, around the ground.
She runs 1200 meters strong. Then anyway, bot to fuel that.
Nico, quick fire. You've got 5 minutes to give us all of your bets, Saturday, Sunday, around the grounds, over the jumps, wherever.
Okay. I've got 2 in Royal Randwick. Race number 4. This is one of the progressive horses going around for this stable on Saturday. Clear Thinking. This is this impeccably well-bred mare. The Dabawi had a sweet idea.
She
that's a good stumps up here in a 1200 meter tab highway class 3. Wet no issue for her. She's had 2 wins on 2 soft tracks. Expected to be coming here and winning on Saturday, so I'm gonna play her into the stablemate in Queensland, which I'll allude to in a minute. Just for those out there that want a futures play, after she wins on Saturday, the plan is just to coast their way into the Kosciuszko. So that's the race that they're going to target with clear thinking. The other bet that I had in Randwick was race 8, number 3, I Know a Star. Finds a pretty sort of moderate race here in the James Squire Winter Stakes listed race. Naughty Nash on from barrier 5, I think, is perfect. I see this horse is going to the front. It's in a rich vein of form. I like the step back to 1,400 metres. It's been good at 1,600 metres, but I think the day that we backed it 3 back, when it sort of got away with murder on that sort of highway track, then it was solid, being beaten less than a length to Freedom Rally, but just sort of paddled. I think it just gets a little soft at the back end of 1,600. Then it was obviously beaten at just over even money last start by Coty at the mile. So I like the drop back to 1,400 metres. I like the jockey change with Nash going on. First time Nash has ridden this horse, I think he'll give it a peach.
Handlebars down, Nash.
Yeah, handlebars down, scrub its ears off. And it should be super hard to beat against a sort of pretty moderate field. I thought with 56.5 kilos, it looks extremely hard to beat. There's only the one for me in Queensland. That's the stablemate to Clear Thinking. Race number 6 is the Winx Guineas. Know Thyself is also a very smart horse from the Paul Massara and Gavin Rennich stable. They've knocked back some big offers for this gelding of the Autumn Sun from overseas because they're trying to boost the Autumn Sun's page and progeny up, obviously. This horse won really, really well last start on a heavy track in a highway, but he's much better than highway grade. Wet track, no issue. Barrier 7's fine. I think around that sort of 230 and 250 mark is a fair price. There's some sort of yo-yo horses in this race, but I think Know Thyself, he looks pretty smart, and I think he's going to be destined for better races than an age-restricted Group 3 that he faces on Saturday. So he's the last of my bets on Saturday, and then we'll quickly go to Sunday. Looks a super meeting at Warrnambool. Shattered I can't get there. I've got a few commitments this weekend, but I've got 3 races I want to play into. We'll touch on race 1. I don't have an official bet in that race, but if you've been on Willy Wink this season, I think it might be his day on Sunday that he repays you. Hit the Road Jack is this New Zealand horse that's come over. It ran well last start at Caulfield in a 2,000-metre race, but I think if you've backed Willy Wink all preparation, I think you've got the right to go to the well with him one more time. Get the services of Professor first time. And this Hit the Road Jack hasn't won beyond 1,800 metres in its career. I know it ran well last night over 2,000 metres and it's not going to be a 3,200-metre flat race, but I still think it means something. And I think there's enough queries for it being a 270 favourite. So Willy Wink, even though he might be a bit of a milk drinker, I think if you've been on him all prep, I think you've got to give him one last chance on Saturday. But I've got no firm opinion in the race. Race number 2, I've been waiting for this horse to go to over the jumps for quite some time, Sing for Peace. He's into a bit of a prohibitive price at $1.60 now, but I think you can play him through your multiples. I've got no issue with this horse coming to the races first time. Paddy Payne horses are always well schooled before coming to the races, especially his jumpers. I'm not taking anything into his margins beaten in trials. He would be well educated at home, and Paddy brings these price bloodstock horses to the races and they generally win. I remember back in Eckhart and horses like that in years gone by, and it's been fruitful. So I think, albeit $1.60, I think he'll be winning, so you can run him through your multiples. I don't have a bet in the Novice Hurdle. I think it's a very good race. I think it's a very hard race. I sort of can't really split Alakahan and Dubai Moon. Alakahan has got some sexy SPs and probably deserves to be favourite, running behind Affluential and the like of recent starts. But Dubai Moon has gone from strength to strength since I backed him at Pakenham and he got beat. Funny that. Yeah. So that's a good race. I don't have a firm opinion at this point in time. I need to do a bit more work on it, but I'm keen to bet in races 4 and 5. Race number 4, I'm giving him one last chance, Chains of Honour, for this preparation. He's starting to really infuriate me, even though he won the Galliard for us at a big, big price. I think he wasn't really favoured last time with Fablot fucking the race, going helter-skelter and dragging him out the way he did. That's not to Chains of Honour's help at all. So I think hopefully we don't have the same repeat of that rubbish that happened last start. And most importantly, he gets an extra 2 kilo swing off Fablot from last start, and he gets an extra 3.5 kilos off Prismatic. I think Prismatic has got some scope to be a nice hurdler, but I think he's well enough found at $2.30, and Fablot is a yo-yo horse. I know he did it last time at $13, but he's not really a punter's friend. He bobs up when he shouldn't, and he's nowhere to be seen when he should. So I think at $10, I think Chains represents a good bet. Yeah, and I'm just hoping that he was given a bad steer 2 back by Luca, and then the race shape was against him last start. So I think Professor riding him second time, he'll be a little bit more aware of what's happening, and hopefully we don't lose sight of the bunny again. And sorry, race 6, not race 5. The Thackeray, the feature of the day. I'm happy to take on Balix 1. I've still got my same queries that I've always had with him, and none of that has changed here. He's got a lob 71. There's a bit of recency bias in him being favourite. Like, he just beat Riding High last start, and Riding High is just a horse, albeit he's been a good horse over the journey. But, yeah, Riding High probably should have won last start. And there's two very progressive horses in the chasing caper here. My main bet in the race is number 3, Will John. The form's already been franked with the Mighty Spar coming out and winning twice since his defeat by 9 lengths at Hamilton. I think a little bit better going is obviously going to be probably advantageous to Will John, and he gets the Professor where he's got an unbeaten 2 from 2 strike rate on him. I think he's going to improve from his first chase start to his second chase start. He made a few errors, but was good enough just to win on class by space. Yeah, the market hasn't missed him early. 5 into 380. I was surprised that he went up $5. I thought he probably should be favourite, and I think the only danger to him in this race is the up-and-comer leaderboard. He's got 65 kilos. He's been running super. He went real good last start at Warrnambool, so he's had that side around Warrnambool, which is going to hold him in good stead. And Kuru's riding phenomenal at the moment, so I think you can play Will John as your main bet and maybe have a sing for peace into leaderboard as your saver, but I'm pretty confident if you have results out of those two, you should have a good day.
Sweet as. That's Nico's summary wrapped up over the jumps. Very intriguing listening as always. Will, we'll get you to come back off your bed now.
Yeah, man, I'm back. Go back to bed. Fuck off.
And we'll go...
I don't know
we'll
if that was a summary. I think that was a fucking...
It was an essay, but you know what? it's a good day of racing on Sunday at Warrnambool. All right, Backlay Prey, gentlemen. Clip these up, note these down, because... all three of these will be given the green tick on Saturday. I'm that keen about it. Race 9, Flemington. Number 12, Ferrari. Best bet of the day. I think she is Group 1 quality. My best value, double. Race 2, Flemington, Berkshire Breeze into Race 3 at Flemington, Craig. You can currently get $2.80. to $3 about this double. I think it should be an even money double. I think it's flip of the coin either way. Maybe even a shade of odds on, I think that double should be. And my best lay, It comes up in race four, number one, Pisces. We're going for three in a row. He's ran second at his last two. He's had every opportunity to win his last two, and he hasn't been able to get the job done. He's a two-year-old deep in the preparation, and I think a mile is a query. So $2.70, you can have that, Ponus.
Oof.
Nicholas?
Yes.
Have you got a backlay prey?
I do have a backlay prey. Sorry, I was a little distracted. Best bets for me of the weekend, take the race one, race two double. Yeah, and I think Ferrari in the last is a certainty. My value of the day is race four, Flemington Whateley. And my lay, anything that Bott's backing. Because he's going like a bastard.
He's not wrong. I'll piggyback in the the mahogany. Yeah. I think Crosshaven's a bit big after winning last time, and aside from the South Australian horse called Press Down, I don't think that race will take any more winning than what he did last time. But like if it comes off its form, which I think it easily can because I got everything in its favour at Swan Hill, then I think it's beatable. And 20-20s is a big price, and Semyon's big price in that race as well. I don't know what I want to lay. Nothing really. Sweet. I'm sure there's, yeah. Well, the Duke de Cess is way too short, but like,
yeah, lay at the place.
I don't know about laying at the place because it probably runs into a place, but it won't. Like, it could win, but like, shit, it seems short, $6.
Yeah. Quick last one before we get Adza involved and go from racing to footy. Horse of the Year, boys. It's been very much a topic of conversation these last few weeks. For mine, Pride of Jenny goes on top. Three Group 1s, All-Star Mile. She's taken Australian Racing by storm. She won the Queen Elizabeth by 8 lengths, and she bolted in with an All-Star Mile. She even beat them on the backup at Flemington during the Spring Carnival. Number two, Cups Double, without a fight. We haven't seen it for a very long time. You could almost have him number one, but I've just given it to Jenny. Number three, Imperatriz. We know she's a very good sprinter, one of our best over the last few years, but she did win a few sort of average group ones. So I've taken her down to number three. And number four, Mr. Brightside. If you had won the Cox Plate, then you probably would have had him a little bit higher, but he has been such a consistent performer. And for mine, that is the top four. I think for fifth, you could have any number of Fangirl, Riff Rocket. There's a few others. I know there's a lot of recency bias saying Bella Nipotina. She wouldn't be in the top five, but maybe in the top 10.
Pride of Jenny's got to be number one, I would have thought. Just what she did. You know, she's, in the way she did it, like, from a fan perspective, it's pretty cool what she's done.
Speak for yourself. She's
turned herself from a group two horse. Yeah, no, I don't love it, but, like, you know, she's turned herself into a group two filly, into the best horse in the country, so it's pretty cool.
Yep. Nico?
Without a fight for me.
Yep, fair enough.
Yeah, you don't see horses do the double. Pride of Jenny has had a phenomenal preparation, and what she's done has been superb, but it's not out of the realms that a good horse can win multiple group ones throughout a preparation. It's a lot harder, and it's a lot more rare for a horse to win the double. So, without a fight on top for me, probably from Pride of Jenny. Yeah, as much as it hates me to say it, I'm going to look like a fucking idiot if I've got it down any lower than that. People are going to think it's become personal, but taking all emotion out of it, I think it's a bit of a ding-dong battle between Imperatriz and Mr. B. They're both a model of consistency, and they've both probably put in their poor ones. Well, not poor ones, but substandard to them, what we come to expect throughout the preparation. So I'm happy to, I wouldn't be unhappy with, you know, either at 3 or 4. And I think, for what it's worth, me weighing in on the best 2-year-old of the year, I'm happy to have Broadsiding as the best 2-year-old for me. Lady of Camelot was good. She ran second in the Diamond. She won the Slipper. But yeah, I'd think Broadsiding. I think Broadsiding's the one for me. Won the Champagne. Took it all before him in Queensland. Looks a proper colt. Looks the next Animo to me. I'm very excited to see where he can be in the spring. He looks a proper horse. And he could take a hell of a lot of beating in a Cox Plate with 49.5 kilos on his back if he continues the trajectory that he's on at the moment. Well, he was on. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Well, punters at the 6-day hopefully have got $9 for him first up to win the Golden Rose. I think he'll be going around $3.50 favourite, so make sure you jump on the app. Has been a little bit of a dry spell this last week and a half, but don't worry, we'll be hitting back hard very soon. We've got lots of good futures bets coming up, and that's where we made the bulk of our money last year. All right, that's it for racing. We're going to switch codes to AFL now and get Jack Adam on the podcast for the very first time. All right, we're back after a quick interval. The racing is done and we're getting into the footy, AFL that is. We know we've still got a few Queensland and New South Wales listeners that think football is rugby, but football to us is definitely AFL. And we've got a very good AFL analyst on now, Jack Adam. Mate, I reckon of the people in the group chat currently, the racing previews group chat, you and I probably go back just about the longest in terms of we were playing footy against each other growing up under 10s, and then we played a bit of basketball against each other as well. So it's great to finally have you on the podcast.
No worries. Thanks for having me, boys. Good to be on.
Yep. You can find this man, obviously, giving his stuff out on Twitter and also defending his jockey mates, which is also very, very entertaining.
If you read through my Twitter replies, I'm sure you'll have a good laugh.
it's very entertaining gear. All right, so how this is going to work is we're just going to run through each game. I'll read out the teams, the odds, and Jack will sort of just give his spiel. He's pretty good on the same game multis. He's just opened up his, like, a bit of a Telegram chat for that. So if you're interested in that, then maybe give us a message. All right, tomorrow night, Friday night, Collingwood versus Essendon, 6 versus 4. Collingwood are $1.56 and Essendon are $2.39. What'd you make of this game, mate? Because it is a pretty important one in the context of finals.
It's a huge game for both teams. It's one of those old-fashioned 8-point games. And the pressure's on Essendon big time because they haven't obviously beaten the team in the top 8 at the moment. So the pressure's really on them. But Collingwood have got a few outs and a few players under a bit of injury cloud. So, yeah, it's hard to read. I'm going to lean to Collingwood because I trust them a bit more, but they're in a bit of a rut at the moment. They obviously got beat last week to Gold Coast, albeit they're undefeated at home, and then they were down by 50-plus points against North Melbourne, which is almost unheard of. Like, if you haven't told me that, I was actually on a flight to Bali when that game was going on, and I got off the plane and looked at the scores, and I almost fell over. So they got the win in the end, but yeah, so it's tough. I think they'll be too good around the ball. I think Pendlebury will take Merritt out on a bit of a stoppage role, and then I think they'll run free. Pendlebury's done that role before, and I think he'll be given the task tomorrow night. And the big question is whether Essendon tag Dacos or not. The only player that I think can do it is Caldwell, but he's been their best midfielder over the last month or so, so it's tough. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul a bit if they do send Caldwell to him, if Merritt's going to get attention, because then pretty much leaves them Durham, and that's it around the midfield, so they'll be a bit skinny with their depth. So yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, Collingwood, they're probably not in the form they were in last year, and there has been a bit of damning vision throughout the week on Fox Sports just with some of those defensive efforts. But you feel like they could be coming back into their old form coming into finals. Do you think both of these teams are a lock for finals?
I can't see missing Collingwood personally, because I think once they get McStay back, I think it'll straighten them up a bit, but Yeah, Essendon, I'm not sure about with just their record of not having beaten a team that currently sits in the top eight. They've got a very tough run home. So if they're going to make it, I think they'll be just scraping in and making up the numbers. I think I don't think they're going to do much damage in the finals if they do make it.
Yep. And did you have some stats around this game or you want to move on to the next?
Yeah, there's a few stats. So Collingwood actually leaked the second most disposals to opposition defender ball users, averaging 29.7 a game. So look for the players like Martin, McGrath, Redmond, those sort of types tomorrow night to have big numbers. Like probably Martin, 25-plus lock. Redmond had a quiet game last week, but I expect him. He should bounce back 15-plus probably tomorrow. 20 plus probably pushing it a bit, and I think McGrath will. I think he was best on ground when they played Anzac Day. Always in the top three best players on the ground, so I think he had 31 or something from memory. So look for him to have big numbers. And Collingwood also leaked massively to inside mids from the opposition, just under 31 a game, and leaked the second most as a team on average. So yeah, Essendon leaked the second lowest disposals to opposition defender ball users, but with Noble out, it's. I'm not sure who's going to play that role, whether they throw Chris back and then move to go into the midfield. He played a lot bit forward last week. So, yeah, it's tough. So Essendon leak a bit and Essendon are pretty restrictive and Collingwood, a lot of teams feast on them. So, yeah, look for that when you're taking multis tomorrow night.
Yeah, hopefully Nick Martin isn't starting forward at all if you take him a 25-plus like I did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, got burned a bit.
Let's go to the Saturday 1:45 game. There's two of these. The first of those is North Melbourne versus the Gold Coast. North, $2.95. The Suns are $1.39. This is at Marvel. North have just found a little bit of form over the last few weeks, but the Suns are the dominant favourites. What do you make of this game?
I honestly think it's a 50-50 game. I wouldn't be touching the head-to-head. Gold Coast obviously haven't won a game away from home this year or... The home games that they played in Darwin and North Melbourne have improved out of nowhere in the past month or so. So Gold Coast should win on paper, but North have shown enough in the last month for me to not touch the $1.32, I think you said, for Gold Coast. Yeah, that's crazy unders. I wouldn't be touching that.
Yeah, sweet. Any other bets or happy to move on?
I think Phillips is the North tagger that they've been using recently. So he's done the job on Oliver, Treloar in the last 2 weeks. He's going to go to one of Anderson, Flanders or Miller. I would lean to Anderson due to him being best on ground last week, and I think he gives them a lot of drive with his kicks, but I'd be wary of including Flanders or Miller in the multis because last week I thought he would go to Bont, but he ended up going to Treloar. So, yeah, it's tough. Gold Coast won't tag, and they'll back their players in to beat North. So I think the players like Sheasel and LDU, I think they'll bounce back to a bit of form. LDU got a job done to him by Liver last week, so I think he'll bounce back. And you might get good odds for him to have 25, maybe.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Another close game could be the other game at 1:45. This one's at Adelaide Oval. It's between Port and your Western Bulldogs. Just quietly, you are the only one on this panel who has witnessed their team winning a premiership. So well done for that. That would have been Grouse back in 2016. But Port are $2.03 and the Bulldogs are $1.78.
Much similar to the last game, I wouldn't be betting head-to-head. Port have been in woeful form, only just scraping past St Kilda last week, but they're normally a 3-4 goal better team at home. The Dogs have won 5 of their last 7 and have been bolstered by some huge hits back in with Norton and Darcy from injury and suspension, and look to have really turned a corner form-wise, but I need to see them do it before I can back them interstate. Jones and Waitman are obviously huge outs at selection tonight, so both teams' defence looks very skinny now, so... I'm expecting a high-scoring game, so I like the overs here. I don't know what the overs is, but I'll be backing the overs because both teams' defense is very skinny. So I expect it to be a high-scoring game. I think Port have done it previously. In previous years, they'll send Drew to Bont. I think it's a no-brainer. He's best player in the game and has 3 clear best-on-grounds from his last 4. Port have to cull him if they're any chance of winning. And surprisingly, Libba has done a few jobs on Sarong and LDU in the last 2 games in a bit of a new role with Bond, Treloar and Richards being entrusted with the ball winning, with Libba's first focus being on culling the opposition's best player. So I expect that to happen. It won't be a hard tag. I think it'll be a stoppage only. Then they'll play free around the ground, but I think they'll definitely put some time into Butters.
Yep, huge. All right, so something to note there. Let's go to Geelong Hawthorne. We know this was a fierce rivalry. Still is, but... even more fierce only a few years ago, and Hawthorn are flying hot at the moment, and Geelong probably just have tapered off a little bit in the last few weeks. Geelong still are the $1.52 favourite. They're playing at home at Geelong, and Hawthorn are $2.47. But no doubt this is a danger game for the Cats.
Yeah, it is a danger game. I think this is another 50-50 game. Geelong have been woefully out of form after starting the year red hot, but they got back to winning ways last week against Essendon, albeit gifted a few gifts from the umpires. I don't think they'll get that same treatment this week, but the Hawks are fine. They've won 7 of their last 8, but the big question is, are they mature enough to travel down to the Cattery and beat a much more experienced Geelong outfit? Hawthorn are definitely the value on form, but just it's whether they're mature enough to get the job done down there, especially with Sicily's out at selection tonight, so that's a big out, but I still think the 250 is value based on the way that Hawthorn are playing.
Yeah,
I think Atkins has a potential to go to Newcomb. He did a job on Merritt last week and has done multiple jobs in the past. It's just whether they use him in the roles 50-50. Newcomb was clear best on ground last week and dominated, so whether they try and cull him 50-50. And then I think either Nash or Warple will go to Dangerfield to try and stop him, because I think Geelong don't have much in their midfield other than Dangerfield. So I think Sam Mitchell will think if they can stop Dangerfield, then it will go a long way to them winning. Hawthorn actually leaked the most disposals to opposition to outside mids. So I'd be looking at the players like Holmes and Duncan to have big numbers down there. And Geelong leaked the equal third most disposals of its team on average and the most disposals to opposition inside mids. So I'd be looking, if I think Newcomb's going to cop some attention, I'd be looking at Day to have a big game, Warple as well. So those sorts of players, I think Geelong's midfield's very skinny, so opposition midfield seem to feast out on them.
Yep. No, huge. That's some great insight. Let's go to the first of two Saturday night games now. It is the Giants, $2.25 versus the Blues, $1.63. This is in Western Sydney. 10th versus 2nd, but you just feel like Giants, I don't know, I'm a Carlton man and we're in some good form, but Giants are going to be wanting to win this because they do have to start winning some of these games if they want to feature in finals this year. What did you make of this contest?
I was surprised that they put Carlton up $1.80 early in the week. I think that's overs. I think the way Carlton are playing, and they've got this ruthlessness now. They're putting teams away and they've beaten them in the last quarter and beaten them by 10 goals. Like, that's what good sides do. And that's dangerous when you start doing that. I would lean to Carlton here. I can trust them more at the moment, albeit that it's up there. Carlton are basically at full strength, whereas Giants are missing Taylor and Kelly, who are arguably two of their five most important players. So I expect Carlton to be too strong through the midfield for them. Bedford has tagged Warner and Butters in the last couple of weeks to really good effect. He's a very quick player. He tried to tag Dawson on the weekend, but Dawson was too big and too strong for him. So I expect him to go to Welsh and try and take Welsh out of it. And then obviously Chin Cotter's been doing a lot of jobs for Michael Voss as like he's the new little favourite son. So Carlton don't normally tag, but they've brought it into their game in the last 6 weeks and it's gone a long way to their form turning around. I think he'll go to Whitfield. It's the logical weapon Carlton will try and take from the Giants. He's the one that most teams target. He's the one that kickstarts a lot of their chains from a half back. So, yeah, Carlton will back their midfield in against Green, who will either go head-to-head with Cripps or Kennedy. But Kennedy might have a bit of a cooling job on him. He's done that job on Petrarca and Heaney in recent times, so just watch for that. And Carlton leaked the least disposals as a team on average. And the equal least opposition defender ball user. So I'll be watching. I think Whitfield will cop Chin Cotter, and I would be careful of including Lockie Ash and Himmelberg in multis, those sort of ball users coming out of their back half.
Yep, sweet. If anyone wants my input, these are three players that I always take in every Carlton same game multi I take, and usually they hit their mark.
You've had pretty good success with it in the last few weeks.
I have, just with Carlton especially, just because I feel like I know my team. Matthew Kennedy 15 plus is a lock, and you can usually get $1.10, $1.15 for that before it gets crunched really late before the game. Saad to get 15 plus, and Newman to get 20 plus. You can also obviously throw him a couple mids.
And I've liked Holland's 15 plus recently as well. He's always been about $1.15. He's in a good rate of form at the moment. So
there's another good one. Beautiful. Let's move on to Freo Richmond. Probably don't have to spend too much time this game, but Freo are definitely pretty short at $1.07. This is at Optus Stadium, and the Tigers are $8, Jack.
yeah, I think it's a matter of how many points they win by here. I'm expecting a big margin. Richmond were much improved last week, but they still faded late to lose by 10 goals. While Fremantle travelled to Sydney and beat them to break their 10-game winning streak. So I'm expecting Richmond to be competitive early, maybe the first quarter and a half, and then I think Fremantle will just be too strong and they'll run away with it. Fremantle will leak the least disposals to opposition high-half forwards and the least to opposition outside midfielders. So I'd be careful of those Richmond high-half forwards and opposition mids. And Richmond actually leaked the most disposals as a team on average and the third most opposition defender ball users and the second most opposition inside midfielder. So I'd be looking at a multi of like 5, 20-plus, Young, 25-plus, Sarong, 30-plus, Brayshaw, 25-plus. I don't know what odds you'd get for that, but teams have been going to town on them in the midfield as well. You only saw what Cripps and Welsh and Kennedy and Chera and those types did to them last week. They absolutely feasted. So if you want to get some interest out of that game, I think I'll be watching the Giants and Carlton game personally. But if you want to watch that game, then that's what hell I'd be playing it.
And just a quick yes or no, Frio flag contenders, yes or no?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. That's all we need. All right, let's go to Sunday, Melbourne versus West Coast. Melbourne $1.14 at the G, their 12th versus West Coast, $5.75. West Coast, they have showed glimpses over the last couple of months, and Melbourne have been a little bit poor, but what do you make of this matchup?
I think Melbourne will win, but I think it'll be much closer than people think. West Coast were well beaten last week despite having their strongest team of the year on the park, so I expect a response after a tough week in the media over there, and WA media are ruthless with only having two teams there. Simpson's under pressure, so another big loss here, and the pressure will continue to mount. Waterman was rumoured to be out, but he's been named, so whether he plays or not is still up in the air. I think West Coast have enough weapons with Kelly, Yo, Reid, Allen, Waterman, McGovern, Barras, Duggan to really challenge Melbourne. I couldn't take $1.15 Melbourne personally, and I would actually entertain a small play on West Coast at the line of a 35-point head start. Melbourne aren't a high-scoring team, so I don't think if they win, they'll be putting up 140, 150 points. I think if they win, they'll only put up 80 to 90 points with their forward line not being very strong, and Petrarca obviously out for the year.
Yep, huge. All right, let's move on to St Kilda, Sydney. Saints are 15th versus the Swans first. Saints $3.78 and Sydney $1.27. This is at Marvel. Sydney have only lost two games. One was last week, and didn't they lose to Saints the first time?
Sydney lost. I don't think they lost to St Kilda this year. I don't think they've played each other this year. But
haven't they?
I can't believe they bet $1.40 early in the week. That was an absolute gift, in my opinion. They couldn't have played any worse last week and still had a chance to win the game on the siren. Good teams always bounce back, so I expect them on a quick deck at Marvel to be way too strong for a depleted St Kilda outfit with nothing to play for now that their season's over. Although King hasn't been in great form, he still takes the opposition's best defenders, which allows his other forwards easier matchups. He's out now for an extended period of time, so it's going to be a lot tougher for an already low-scoring team to score. I like the St Kilda under 68.5 total points here and Sydney at the line of negative 23.5. It's only a goal a quarter when you think about it, so I expect them to bounce back and cover it easily and put in a really strong performance. I think St Kilda will send Windhager to Warner with a chance that he goes to Goulden. I expect Warner to be the one targeted. His form has really dropped off in the last few weeks after seeing some attention. Mick Laney got him in Adelaide and then Bedford got him from the Giants. He seems to be the logical one they'll put time into, with Goulden seemingly to play on the wing a lot more and Warner intending more centre bounces, but I'd be wary of Ross Lyon sending into Goulden to throw a spanner in Sydney's planning. And then obviously Sydney have got James Jordan as their tagger, so I think the logical one is he'll go to Sinclair, but still a chance he goes to Wanganeen Lira. Sinclair is the one that seems to be copped. He's the one that will cop the tag, but it also wouldn't surprise me if Wanganeen Lira cops it. Sinclair's really bounced back to form over the last few weeks after a slow start to the year with disposal counts of 30, 23, 31, 32 and 31 in these last five, so he's the quarterback for this St Kilda team and the one they give the ball to at any chance. So I expect Horse to try and take their biggest weapon away from him straight from the outset.
Yep. My bad, punters. It was Richmond that Sydney lost to in the earlier on in the year. I knew it was one of those Melbourne teams down the bottom of the ladder. Wasn't the Saints.
Yeah, I still can't believe that.
Yeah, neither can I. All right, happy to move on to Brisbane, Adelaide, the last game of the round, 4:10, the graveyard shift, they call this one. But it won't be for the Lions supporters, because if they can win this, they will charge firmly into top eight contention. They are $1.21 at home versus Adelaide, $4.45. It's 8th versus 14th. Brisbane seem to have their mojo back, Jack.
Yeah, I'm expecting them to be too strong for an Adelaide outfit who are facing an uphill battle to keep their season alive. Since round eight, Brisbane are 6 wins, 1 draw. And one win, and one of the most informed teams. One loss, and one of the most informed teams in the comp. To continue their march up the ladder after a slow start, they simply just have to account for Adelaide home. They've played each other already this year, and it was the draw at Adelaide Oval. But Adelaide are missing Crouch from that game, and I think Brisbane are a much better team now. And especially at home, I think they're a 3-4 goal better team. I expect Brisbane to send Berry to Dawson. I think they'll just try and take out Adelaide captain straight from the get-go. Adelaide's midfield depth is very skinny with Crouch out now, so they've really only got Dawson and Laird, but Saligo's form has dropped off a little in the last 6 weeks. I think his young body's getting a bit tired from playing inside mid and his first proper year playing midfield, and I think Brisbane will feel like they'll be able to get on top in that area with Neil, Dunkley, McCluggage and Berry all going to a different level in the last 6 weeks, and obviously Ashcroft's back now, so that already gives their already strong midfield more depth as it is.
Yeah, huge. All right. We're happy to wrap it up there. Do you have any sort of best bets or summary?
I think the best bet of the round, Sydney at the line of 4 goals. I think a goal a quarter against St Kilda, who are, fourth last on the ladder. No Max King. I just can't see St Kilda being able to kick a score with, especially with Sydney's midfield. St Kilda have got one of the worst midfields in the league, so I think Sydney's midfield are going to be way too strong to get on top and give their forwards first supply, and I don't think St Kilda's defence will be able to stand up. The best value, I think, would be the Hawks to win at $2.50. I know Sicily's out now, but still, they've won 7 of their last 8, so you can't ignore their form. I know it's tough to go down to Geelong, but Geelong haven't been the same team the last 6 weeks, although they beat Essendon last week, but I think that score lied a bit with the free kicks and stuff that Essendon got given against them and the rush behind and the Draper free kick and whatnot. And it just kills you when things like that happen in games. It kills your confidence and whatnot. Yeah. I'll also be playing a weekly multi of Carlton to win, Freo to win, Sydney to win and Brisbane to win. I think you get about 270 for that on 365. And I'd recommend taking that on 365 with the 32-point early payout if you have that.
Huge. All right, you heard it here first. Mick McGowan, eat your heart out. Hope everyone enjoyed that. Let's get to just a few questions now before we do wrap up the podcast. The first is from your great mate, Max Minnie, Jack. He says, Nakos, Nick Dacos, or Bont for the next 10 years? You can only pick one.
I'm obviously going to take Dacos because of their age difference, but yeah, I'm a staunch Bont man, and I think my tattoo I got in Bali, I think that everyone would have seen that on Twitter. I think that shows...
Yeah, that was awesome.
Maybe after a bit too many Bing Tangs.
Brownie says, how far Berkshire Breeze? Yes, we're saying, what are we saying? 6 lengths? Five to six, I'm saying.
Back to back 6 lengths drops, race one, race two.
Yeah, right. Brownie won't move on him.
James Topping says, will Craig be in the All-Star Mile? And is this Caulfield Cup potentially the strongest in the last 10 years? The All-Star Mile is still a long way away. I think there is a chance he could be in it, and I'm going to say the Caulfield Cup isn't the strongest in the last 10 years, but it will be quite strong. I think back to a Caulfield Cup of a few years ago, Anthony Van Dyke versus Very Elegant.
Yeah, fine.
That was one of the stronger Cup ones.
Best, yeah.
Yeah.
If that thing's in an All-Star Mile, I'll give it up. That's like it's a listed Dawson best.
All right. Well, you're a listed punter, apparently, because RP fan goes, Will, how do you plan on getting yourself out of this slump?
That's a great question.
I barely had a bet in the last month. I just haven't been bothered recently, but
the going's got tough and you've gone to the water.
Just back winners. Just back winners.
He's also said, Ben, how have you coped with the missus being overseas? Does absence make the heart grow fonder? And I've actually had my girlfriend chime in and say, how happy are you that I'm home out of 10? So I'm copying it from all
areas. Can you answer both questions, please?
Yes and yes. It's not really a yes or no question, the second one, is it? Well, yes and 10.
I needed a rating out of 10.
There you go. There's your rating. Jordan Telfer, how's this for an AFL same game multi? Jack, we'll get your sort of opinion on this.
Yep.
Merritt 25, Dacos 25, Martin 20, and Lipinski 15 at $2.05.
I'd be wary of Merritt with Pendlebury, I think, going to him. So I know he feasted on them earlier in the year, and I know Collingwood leak a lot to inside mids. He should have it. It's only 6.25 if you take it on tab with the miss by one disposal promo, but I'm always wary of including players that I think are going to get tagged. There's nothing worse than watching a game of footy when you know you've got a player for disposal and you've just got a guy running around just absolutely annoying the shit out of him, and there's nothing worse. It's just painful. Just like watching a slow death in front of your eyes.
Well, that's actually a good segue, because Coops Irwin, who has recently been inducted into the Racing Previews chat, has said, Jack, can I get your opinion on the idea of tagging?
I think you have to do it. I think if you can take away one of the opposition's best players, then I think it's a no-brainer. I wouldn't be sending one of my top 7 to 8 players on my team. I'd be sending a bottom 6 player on my team to do it, like what Carlton do with Chincotta and what Sydney do with Jordan. They're both really in their bottom 6. So if you're using one of your bottom 6 players to take away one of their top 6 players, I think it's a no-brainer as long as the situation's right. But yeah, a lot of coaches have different views on it, but I think it's come back into vogue the last 6 or so weeks in AFL, and it's really working. So it'll be interesting to see how it keeps going for the rest of the season.
And just extending on that question, you have some strong opinions. Another key topic of conversation in the chat was the fact that at TAC Cup level, I don't know what they call it anymore, NAB League, whatever they call it.
Yeah, yep.
That coaches aren't allowed to tag players because they obviously want to see the talent on display. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it just means taggers can't ever be drafted, can it? So it's, if you think that you're a good stopper at junior level and you've got the fitness and the strength to be able to stop opposition's best players and your coach is using you for it, and then you go to NAB League and you're not allowed to do it, it defeats your strength. So I don't agree with it. I think if you're good enough to get drafted, you get drafted anyway. And if you make it to the AFL and you're good enough, you might be copying attention in the AFL. So why would you not prepare it for them from a young age? It just doesn't make sense to me, really.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, Isaac Bishop's just chimed in and said magic time. That's not a question and it's not relevant. So I don't know what the fuck you're speaking about.
That was that horse that got us out of the shit that day at Flemington when Isaac was down with Romantic Warrior.
Right. Right, yes. Yeah. Good memories.
Great memories.
We all launched Magic Time to get us out of a deep, dark hole. Coops Irwin says, is the racing.com redesign the biggest hate crime of the 21st century? We have to be careful what we say here because we've got some people that are with some vested interests. But Will, what have they done?
He won't say boo anyway.
I don't hate it. I don't think it's that bad, is it? I know people are losing their shit over the breed, like because there's no breeding.
There's no breeding anymore. Yeah,
I think it's, I don't know. They released like a statement earlier today. I just refer to that.
At least they released a statement. So you want to go find out why? Go and read that statement. I'm not the biggest fan of the new redesign, but it is what it is. We'll get used to it as we always do. Tyce Hunter, Jack, heard you want to get rid of one of the game's great assets, the Specky. Why?
We've all had a few mixed views on the Darcy Moore incidents with us thinking whether there's intention there or not. And it's up for him. It's a good pub debate, but I think in local levels and I think any high standard of football, if you get the opposition to hurt an opposition player fairly, I think you do it. So that's my opinion. I think other people obviously look at it very differently, but I'm not saying that they're both times Darcy Moore had intention, but there's definitely certain plays in AFL where if a player leaves their body open, then players try and take advantage of it.
I think the funny comparison is when Toby Green was going studs up and protecting himself with his foot, that's a free kick. But you do it with your knee and you break someone's ribs and it's not a free kick.
So yeah, it's a bit... And I think always think back to that Liam Ryan and Braden Maynard incident in the grand final when Maynard left his body open and Liam Ryan didn't even try and tackle him. He just went straight for his ribs and just tried to break every single one of them.
Yeah.
So...
That's footy,
I guess. It's part of the game to learn to have the skill to be able to protect yourself and to protect your body. So
yeah,
it's all part of it.
Yeah, no, we can't get rid of the specky and, you know, jumping into players' backs and kneeing them, but it is something that will continue to get looked at, I would have thought.
And I'll just quickly add, the stats that I use all through the to get all that information that I was reeling off is through BetStopper, so I thought I'd just give them a quick plug.
Yep. All right, we got three from RD. One of them is about Taylor Swift. I don't need to read that out. Nico, what are you doing this winter for self-improvement?
Partying Saturday night.
Yeah, that's open for imagination, fellow people in the world.
I'm quietly gutted I can't attend that, but that's all right. I am going away for the weekend, so hope you fellas enjoy.
Hope Liv looks after
more.
You.
Jack, do you reckon Fev is the greatest full forward of all time? From RD?
He was good to watch back in the day. I still remember Absolutely. That game against Hawthorn when Clarkson dropped back three guys to put on him so he couldn't get his 100. That was just cruel.
That was cruel. The days of, you know, Fev kicking bags of eight, coming back against opposition teams when we've been down by 30 points at halftime, those were the glory days.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. Back when the teams didn't flood.
Yeah. And the last one is, Jack, can you share any stories about Nico from Bali?
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll keep that off the podcast.
What happens on tour stays on tour.
Maybe after a few beers you might get me, but yeah, not so much.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's fair enough. I look forward to hearing that one day. All right, let's wrap up the pod there. We spent an hour talking about racing. We spent half on footy and questions. Jack, thank you very much for coming on. We think people will really appreciate that insight and a bit of a change up to the pod.
No worries, boys. It was great to come on.
Thanks, boys. All right.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Nico. Enjoy finals day at Flemington. If you've got a buy in the footy like me, then hopefully you back some winners and get away somewhere nice. Thanks, punters. See you back here next week.
I could show you a flame. God knows.